Digital 410 Productions proudly presents the What's in Your Head podcast.
Digitized live from
your company name here.
Your studios in Cape Coral, Florida. It's the What's in Your Head podcast.
Your eyes are like a quarter of the way open.
I got Chinese eyes and Chinese suits.
A little bit, a little dee diddly day.
Okay.
There you go.
I can't talk too loud, otherwise I'll start to clip.
Well, what Clippy professionals McGee. Do is when you get excited, you back off the microphone.
Like if you're pretending to yell at someone,
yeah.
You have to do this.
Yeah, I know.
That's what Dave would do when I'm fucking K-Rock. He'd get in there like, no, stupid, back off the mic. Did you guys see that video? I started to watch it. I perused through it and I skimmed it. There's a video. So whoever bought out Beasley's building in Astero sold it to a wrecking crew.
I couldn't watch it. It was disappointing.
I perused it and I stopped. I was thinking about reaching out to Babs, Gabby, and a few other people and doing a reaction video with them on it. Because like with the K-Rock stuff, I have 134 videos. I could cut Oh, here's some of the cool shit that happened in this room that you're fucking ransacking here. And just, I don't know, I was thinking about doing it, either a reaction video by myself or trying to get some of the other people who worked at the station to do reaction videos. I thought that might be kind of cool.
It's crazy that they're just demoing the building completely. I mean, just.
I couldn't believe they didn't try, you know, the demo company got the boards and all.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
I mean, that would have been, to me, I would have been like. Fucking not. Let's get some shit.
I'd be interesting to see the raw footage when they tore Stan's original office apart, the one I worked in, because we had shit up in the ceiling tiles. It'd be interesting to see how much my shit's still there. Yeah, because his office was so small and so full. We had, like, somebody brought us these cardboard cutouts of, the super hot Hispanic chick that I think dated Charlie Sheen for a while. Anyhow. Revlon pictures of her displays from like the fucking Revlon store and shit. We had all that shit in our office, and after a while we were putting shit up in the drop ceiling and everything. So they probably put so much shit when they tore that apart.
That wasn't Sophia Figuera, was it?
Yeah, her. Yep. Oh, by the way, what's up? What's up, OG5? Welcome to the What's Your Head podcast. Real quick, we do have the What's Your Head podcast hats up for sale. We do have shirts back up for sale with our new vendor. And for the first time ever, fucking OG5 hats are available, fellas. I need to remake the Digital 410 hat, because fun fact, there's only two people on this planet who owned a Digital 410 hat. Me and anyone?
What's his name? Waterman? No?
Morgan.
Oh!
I think I've still got it somewhere.
Those were beta hats I had done at Edison Mall. And because Morgan was an early OG5 pod, he was an early Patreon subscriber. I gave it to him. Gordon didn't even have one. I think I did send Gordon one, but he didn't wear it.
What a wiener.
So you can get the What's Your Head podcast hat and the OG5 symbol shirts and stuff. Head over to whatsyourhead.com. And while you're there, click on that Patreon link. Please like, subscribe, sign up. It's like $3 a month. Goes a long way to help what we do around here. We're really bad at self-promotion, but yeah.
Happy
Earth
Day.
Does my face look any skinnier now?
A smidge.
Thank you. See, when I lose weight, I lose it in my hands and my face. But I've been lifting a lot. And so when I play Arc Raiders, I sit like this. So you're getting this. And Ron's like, dude, you look like you're getting fucking fat. I'm like, no, that's the angle I'm sitting at. I'm actually losing weight. So, yeah, your buddy Ron's calling me fucking fat again, which I need anyhow.
He says that all the time. He talks to you about how fat you get all the time.
Meanwhile, this motherfucker's sitting there railing on fucking potato chips and cookies while we're playing Arc Raiders. Yeah. And then I got to hear his fucking diabetes alarm go off. Like, come on, dude. How about to lay off the fucking carbs, which turns into sugar, which kicks off your diabetes. Quit telling me I'm fucking fat and fucking put the shit down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Ron for you, buddy.
Oh, you're God. Killing me.
And there it goes. YouTube says, sorry, can't pay to promote this video. You know what go-to they always hit us with? you would think we're fucking Tucker Carlson. Every time they deny my wanting to pay them a couple of bucks to promote the show, it usually comes back with something about politics or politics. It's like, we don't talk politics.
Not really.
It's not like we're a podcast here trying to raise money for the Democratic Party. I mean,
well, and
we
know,
talk about things that we can could consider political, but we're not pro politics. It's not like we're a you know, a Republican show or a Democrat show or even an independent show. I mean, we talk about shit that's in the news and prevent our ideas, but at no point would you think we're like campaigning for a particular group.
Well, that's why a lot of YouTubers like 10 years ago, they were all upset and pissed off, and a lot of them were like protesting YouTube because of the demonetization thing that they had going on YouTube, mm-hmm. where they changed how creators get paid and stuff like that.
Yep.
I think, you know, I think YouTube does pay money to the popular creators. You know, I don't think that the lower end creators make all that much money. But
what I've discovered doing this for so many years and finally starting to get views, and this is the thing no one talks about, and I don't want to sound like I'm constantly railing on this shit, but at the end of the day, if you do not pay YouTube some sort of minimum, whether it's for, which I figured this out. You guys ever wonder why like someone shows up on your TikTok and you're a subscriber to them and you're like, I've never subscribed to this motherfucker?
Yeah.
When you pay these companies for subs, they're not boosting your videos to try to get you subs. They're just going on to people's fucking accounts that are dormant and just fucking making their account subscribe to you.
Yeah.
And that's why you're like, how? Because I remember, like, after, I don't know, right after pandemic, I was going through mine. I'm like, there's all these, like, young semi-kids on there. Like, you know, kids for, you know, 19. And it's like, I would never like this person's content. I'm, like, going through and unsubscribes. Oh, these people are paying for fucking likes and that and subscribes, and that's where these come from. But what I'm getting to is, if you're a small creator, you know, you're paying for your camera equipment, you're paying for web hosting and all that, and you, unless you get real, even, you know, you have to get really lucky. Because, like, I've had videos on Instagram and shit get 5 million views. And unless you pay the provider some sort of money, you are not going to get a return. It's like, you know, you hear these...
Where it's very little.
Yeah, like, it's so it drives me fucking crazy. Because I hear the Joe Rogans and some of these big podcasters talk about, well, anybody can have a podcast no more these days. There's no gatekeepers. It's like, the fuck there's not. If you don't have, you know what the minimum advertising budget for Spotify is? Like if we wanted to buy What's in Your Head podcast advertising on Spotify, you know what the minimum investment is?
I don't know.
$400
$1,000.
$400 a month. If you're 18, living at mom's house and you have a job but you're not paying for anything, that's fine. But if you're a fucking 35, 40 year old dad paying mortgage and paying for web hosting and everything else, like, you don't have $400. And the days of, well, you just got to get a bunch of subscribers on Facebook. No, because if you don't pay Facebook and Instagram to promote your post, you could have 20,000 subscribers. Only 150 of them will see it naturally.
The only thing that I disagree with that is when you have those 20,000 subscribers, you start to pique more interest in advertising companies and stuff like that, or like product.
It depends. For example, I have 17.5. I cannot get over 17.5. And I got this day a year ago video is trending right now.
Yeah.
Like the one about the, hey, white people, when are you going to tell us about the dogs? About the golden retrievers. I cannot get over 17.5. And even with 17,500 subscribers, I post a video, I'll get like 35, 60 views. And now, I'm sorry, that is not 0.15% of my audience.
Right.
That's less. And I get it. The argument may, well, if you had 10,000 subscribers, if you subscribe to 5,000 people and we showed y'all 5,000 of their videos posted one day, you'll never get your timeline. I get that, but it's like when you have a Instagram, I have, I don't know, I think over 1,000 on my Don Abernathy page. I'd post shit and get like 10 views. It's like, so there are gatekeepers. It's called the tech companies and your wallet.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I
well,
think...
but technically he's correct. Anybody can have a podcast. It's just you might not have a successful podcast. Yeah, but don't say
there's no gatekeepers when we I won't talk about it on the air until I clear it with the person. But you and I, you guys are in on it. We know that this particular podcast has actively gotten me fucking, I don't say canceled, but I'm going to say redacted from certain people's lives professionally.
Yeah.
Where I've been scrubbed from their whole, you know, this has been scrubbed from theirs. And so there's definitely gatekeeping. Like, is my mic fading in or out? Or is it just me?
It's just you.
On my side of my headset, like the volume drops out and then it just comes in real loud. So it's wavering.
Probably time for a new headset, fella.
I don't know. Actually, I'm watching the peaks on the... Yeah, it's... It's even doing it on the my computer where it's recording. It's almost like my volume is being controlled by something. Hold on a second. Hello.
Because you were echoing and I was loud as fuck. So yeah.
There you go. Yep. I think it's a little bit better now.
A little better now.
A little bit better now. While we're on the topic...
Yeah?
...of social media people...
Yeah.
Carrie wants really, really bad to be a video game streamer.
Really?
Well, she has for years, but now that I'm doing it and I have a setup, which we've actively tried. A little fun fact for you young cat, too. If you want to stream from a console, you basically can't do it, not effectively. You can stream from Twitch, from your Xbox console, but the overall problem is... because of Microsoft, when you try to stream on Twitch through the console, it blocks all dialogue but yours. So that your streamers can't hear the people you're talking to in game chat because privacy settings and all that, Microsoft just doesn't want to deal with it. So they can hear your game, they can hear you talking, but if you're talking, like if you have people on your team, you're basically talking to yourself. Like people hear, you know, one third of the conversation.
Well, they make ways around that.
Trust me, we've looked into it.
Yeah.
So I got a monster capture card. Basically, you run the HDMI out through the capture card, run it to a computer. You can run it through OBS and record. Well, that works. The only problem is the old Xbox. You remember back in the day on old Xbox 360s, it would sound like you're hearing your voice come out of someone's TV and then circle back in their microphone. It's like, oh, well, kinda, yeah. I had the second controller turned on and that's canceled and there's no headphones. And so the audio is coming out of the TV and it used to create a loop. Well, Microsoft has gotten rid of that. So when you talk in a chat through a headset, it doesn't broadcast what you're saying through the Xbox audio output. It sends it through the Xbox internally and out the internet. It does not send that audio to your TV so that your voice will never come out of your TV, thus being like a musician on in front of a PA system and get the feedback loop.
Yeah, it's actually selectable.
Well, we've tried. You on the new Xboxes, you cannot select. We've ChatGPT'd it. We've tried. You cannot broadcast your mic audio through the HDMI cable.
Not yours, no.
That's what I'm talking about. Mine.
Oh, wait. You're talking about through...
So I'm on the Xbox. I got my headset.
Yeah.
The capture card only captures what is sent to the TV because you're intercepting the HDMI signal. Well, since your mic volume never goes to the TV and will never come out the TV speakers, thus creating a feedback loop, it only goes into the console and out to the internet. So when you're trying to capture yourself streaming, once again, no one can hear you talking because the Xbox doesn't send the audio to your TV and you're only capturing the audio and the video that goes to your TV. Well, there's a stereo input on it. And so I bought a stereo splitter, plugged in the back of her controller so that when she plugs her headphones in, and then we run a stereo cable into the audio input, thus capturing the audio that comes out of her headphones and capturing the microphone volume that's going into the microphone, thus capturing that signal, setting it as a secondary signal to overlap with the game signal so people on the stream could hear both. The capture cards they support both inputs, but they only capture one at a time. So you can't say capture the HDMI plus the stereo cable. There's no software for the shit.
I wonder if Elgato's one of the only ones that allows that. Because my brother, he streams and plays games through Xbox.
It must have that monster card does not have any software, so you can't control the card. It's one or the other. So the Elgato may. Yeah. But even... So what I did, and Elgato can't fix this, and this is what I'll get into, because we thought about that. So what I did next is we have the HDMI running through the capture card into my computer, going to OBS. Then we ran that stereo cable instead of plugging it into the HDMI capture card. We just ran it directly into the microphone input on my laptop. So, right. And just like I'm doing here, I open up OBS, have the game coming in on a video and audio, and then bringing the microphone in as a second channel, the exact same way I'm doing this here. But the way Arc Raiders develops their game, now you can hear Carrie talking. You can hear the people she's talking to in proximity chat, but you couldn't hear me and Ron. Because what they, the way they overlay our conversation, it doesn't go out through the HDMI cable, and it doesn't go out through the microphone audio cable. You can hear us, but it sounds like we're being played on a phone in the background real low. It's the weirdest shit ever. So I told her you could stream when you're soloing, but when you're playing with anybody else, it'd be like listening to this podcast. You only hear me talking and just you and Morgan real low in the background. It's the craziest shit ever.
That's weird.
So back to the point. She started looking around at small creators, and she found this real cute husband-wife couple. They play in the same bedroom, and he's over there, she's over here, and she's real hot. I'm like, wow, they just started, and I already got 500 subscribers. She's telling me all the things you need to do to get subscribers on the internet, and I just, yeah, cool. You know, because it's so easy to do, and I know nothing about that. And she starts noticing their chairs and their rigs, and she's doing a deep dive. They got $4,000 fucking chairs, or you know, $1,400 computer chairs, and $4,000 computers, and these headsets, and this and that, and all these microphones. She started doing a deep dive on them. Kids, let me tell you, just like you shouldn't get a MedMD and type in all your symptoms and see what's wrong with you, you shouldn't do a deep dive on the cute, wholesome, sexy gamer couple to figure out where they're getting their money. If you had to guess, Mike, where do you think they're getting their money?
OnlyFans.
Yep. Yep.
And Carrie was so disappointed. She's like,
show me your butthole.
She's like, I thought they were just the cute, wholesome couple. I'm like, Carrie, now, watch this. And I did this. I'll do it in real time. Watch this. How many females in the United States of America have OnlyFans accounts?
Sure. It's estimated there are about 1.1 million total creators in the United States, based on women making up somewhere between 70 and 84% of those creators. That puts the number of female creators roughly between 770,000 and 924,000. Is there other info I can help with?
That's just American women.
That'll be all Gemini.
Yeah. And I just told her, I said, well, why do you think they're able to get 500 subscribers right away? Because you just got done rubbing off to these two chicks. Let's go watch her play fucking Arc Raiders for the next 3 hours. Follow them on over. Yeah. I said, I'm not. I said, doesn't surprise me one bit. Not at all. So the point is, they used to say, never meet your heroes. Never do a deep dive on the people you're interested on how they get their money on the internet. Especially if one of them's a hot chick. Because... Yeah, OnlyFans.
Yeah. There's a lady that lives here that does that.
You know,
as legitimate income.
When I had my townhouse in west side of Columbus in 1999, my neighbor's girlfriend was a phone sex operator.
Yeah.
And as cliche as it sounds, she would... This is in Columbus, so we had Meijer and Target. Now, if you're not familiar with Meijer, it's in between Walmart and Target. Similar, very similar to Target, just a little bit different clientele. At least back then, it's a little fancier now. But she would go to Meijer and buy underwear and just put random fucking food items on it, rinse them off so there's still an odor, and literally sell them as used panties. Because that's how bad... This shit's been going on forever, but there clearly wasn't that many fucking phone sex operators in the United States.
Yeah.
So... Never ask where the money comes from.
No, just
keep pretending.
Look away. Look away, children.
Yeah, don't look, Ethel. It was too late. She done got an apple.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
You know what the nice thing about everything being ironically made in China nowadays?
What's that?
Or more importantly, how we no longer have the concept of adult things. You ever You ever had your parents say that, Morgan? Don't touch that. That's adult thing.
Oh, yeah. That's grown-up stuff.
It usually had to do with the amount of money it cost, the sophistication, or the danger involved. You know, in 1989, your uncle had a camcorder sitting on the fucking counter. You didn't just run up and grab it. You had to you had to be shown how to use it and supervised, because those are adults' things. But we don't have it anymore. We're giving fucking six-month-olds $1,200 iPads to play with. And so everything's ubiquitous. And I think this is part of the reason why Champion fitness gear is not frowned upon by the new generation.
Okay.
You know, it was always kind of Kmart wear when I was in school. Champion's been around a long time, but back in the 90s when people were wearing Starter and Nike and Adidas, if you showed up to school in a Champion sweatsuit, you're super poor and you knew it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean the poor people shouldn't have access to cool shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence the generic market. The generic market has gone away. Did you ever have a Game Boy, Morgan?
Yes.
Remember what the poor kids in your neighborhood had? The poorer kids? What was the poor version of the Game Boy?
I don't know.
Tiger Gaming Systems.
Okay.
Remember those? They were one-off games. It was just one game on a thing, and it was just black and white, like super... super, not even, it was probably like 2-bit graphics, not even 8-bit.
They say you want to be a street fighter. You're no street fighter. Not until you master the 6 world warriors of the Street Fighter 2 handheld game. 100 hand slaps and rolling attacks, fireballs and hurricane kicks are your weapons. Beat 3 in a row, then we'll talk. Street Fighter 2 handheld game. New from Tiger. Batteries not included.
We had so many.
It barely even 2-bit.
Yeah. Do you remember those at all? Or are you looking them out of line?
I mean, it looks familiar, but
yeah,
I never
basically,
had one.
It was like a high tech version of an Etch a Sketch.
Yeah.
It was basically when the game was off, you'd see the background drawn on there. It was like sunset or an alleyway. And so when you actually played the game, it was just black. Transparent characters made up of squares doing like rudimentary karate kicks and shit, and it had like real bad ColecoVision audio along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all they were. They were like disposable one-off games, but they were so much cheaper than Game Boys at the time, and that was kind of a big market for a while. I mean, there was always, and the joke was, anytime the word professional or pro was written on something. You know, if they're trying to convince you they're a professional quality, that's usually when it was something generic. Like, when you went to the skateboard shop to get a professional skateboard, it would be a Vision Streetwear, a Vision, it would be 8th Street, Pal Peralta. There wasn't an actual professional level skateboard that sponsored Tony Hawk called Skateboard Deluxe Pro. It didn't fucking happen, right? So, you're the poor kid, you want the Steve Caballero skateboard. You ask for a skateboard for Christmas, and your parents go to Kmart back then and come home with a street professional grade pro skateboard. And it's not that it wasn't name brand. It was just literally a plank of plywood with fucking hard plastic wheels. And
I had Mongoose when Mongoose got
was actually
out by Walmart.
A thing. Oh,
no,
after
it
got bought
out by Walmart. Yep, I had Mongoose. I had one Mongoose bike. BMX bike, and one Mongoose skateboard, and they both sucked.
Things
and
are
I'd always heard great things, like the older kids and stuff that I went to school with and whatnot. Like, oh,
things were so shitty back then.
The shit.
Things were so shitty back then and so expensive that the bearings that come in your kid's fidget spinner that you bought at 7-Eleven are a higher quality than the bearings that came in those skateboards from Kmart back then. The bearings and those, that's what always blows my mind about these fidget spinners. Is like, these are would be called Swiss or German bearings, and you'd buy these at high-end skateboard shops in the fucking 80s. And we sold them on 99-cent fidget spinners at fucking Walmart. But things have gotten cheaper and more streamlined, so it's definitely a benefit to living nowadays. But it's kind of sad because remember when I was getting the water put in and they ran over my kid's bike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
the bike she had was a Schwinn, but not the modern day generic Schwinn of Walmart. It was the Schwinn mountain bike my dad bought my stepmother in Long Beach, California in 2001 at the actual Schwinn bicycle before Schwinn went out of business and got bought out by some cheap fucking Chinese knockoff. And so when the company was nice enough to pay for it, I even called the Schwinn store in Fort Myers. It's like, yeah, no, all the Schwinns nowadays are just Chinese knockoffs. We're just using the name brand for recognition. It's like everything's Mike was saying, Mongoose gone, GT gone. The GT of our youth is now another Chinese knockoff company. I would imagine Trek's probably still the same.
Trek?
But, yeah.
I think Trek is still the same, yeah.
But, yeah, Mongoose.
I'm not even sure you can. Can you even buy Trek at Walmart or anything like that?
No.
But no, I don't think so. I think you have to go to the Trek store.
Mongoose was like a
pro bike shop or something.
Yeah, that's why Mongoose was in 80. They were up there with Redline and GT and all those.
And Haro.
I wanted a Redline so bad. I wanted to be able to pick up my bike with my finger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted a Redline so friggin' bad.
But yeah, when I was a kid, Mongoose was it, man.
Yeah.
Mongoose, Redline, Haro. GT was more of a BMX off-road bike, but kids still had them. I got the old Huffy.
I had a Huffy.
Yeah. The old
Huffy. I had a Huffy until my Huffy, I don't remember what happened to it. I think I got too big for it or something.
Stolen.
And then I got the hand-me-down mountain bike that was aqua green, and that got stolen out of my driveway. And thrown into a canal by somebody who I know who did it. And
I think I've seen your bike five times over. I've seen so many bikes in these fucking canals.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? I hope you're enjoying this fishing content. Listen, do us a huge favor. As you know, we here at D410 Media, we use a lot of Cast King products. We love Cast King, but we want to share those products with you. So head over to d-410.com/fish. Click on the link. Go visit Cast King's website and their ever-growing catalog of fishing gear, apparel, plus much more. They got everything from shirts to fillet knife kits to line spoolers, fishing rods, everything you need, hats, sunglasses, everything you need to go fishing at a super affordable price, quality stuff. We've been using them for over 4 years. Like, subscribe, and please go to d-410.com/fish. Thanks. When you see someone riding down the street with a bike with another bike, they stole that, right? How often is somebody actually riding their spouse's, my kid, you stole that shit.
Yeah.
We here at Digital 410 Media and the What's in Your Head podcast do not promote, endorse, or associate or agree with the burning down of warehouses in any way, shape, and or form. But kids, if for some reason you have an issue with your employer, and regardless of it's big, small, whether you're stealing paper or lighting fires, don't record yourself doing it. Your lawyer will thank you for it in the future. Should have paid us enough to fucking live. You know, we may not get paid enough to fucking live, but these bitches dirt cheap. Not only did he film himself and post, he wasn't even live streaming. He recorded it and then posted it after the fact of him lighting not one, but like five different pallets on fucking fire. And the other thing no one's talking about, he said, but these things cost $2. Did you see what he had in his hand? Why he had a Zippo?
The dude
was burning one down. He had a joint in his hand. Everybody fixates on the lighter. Now, if you look, he's holding a joint and then the lighter's behind it. So, dude went to work, fucking lit up a spliff, and then said, I'm burning this motherfucker down, but was dumb enough to record it and then post it on TikTok. You're making this really hard for your defense attorney.
Well, that's like the people there was a girl at one point. I think there was like this love triangle or something like that. They were teenagers or something like that. And this girl ended up killing these two people. And she was like posting TikToks or Facebook videos or whatever talking about it.
like, what do you, what did you think was, and then go to court and then try to prove your innocence and you know, claim that you're not guilty. How stupid are you?
Do we have a term for this? There used to be a term in the early 2000s. Remember the phrase ghetto famous?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's when there was a police chase in your neighborhood, and you knew which way it was coming, so you'd run out and jump up and down on the curbside so that you showed up on the news helicopter for it. It's called ghetto famous. What do we call it now when people are doing dumb crimes? Not just minor misdemeanors or larceny, but fucking full-blown arson and murder. And they're posting it online. I mean, it's clear. You can't just call it stupidity. It's got to be something more than that.
Who else did that? It's got to be a deeper rapper.
Well, that's the thing. It's I was talking to somebody the other day about how, you know, we have this obsessive need for stuff. And if we don't have stuff, we, you know, we think that we're somehow, you know, poor or whatever, even though we've got more stuff than, you know, 90% of the world when we don't have shit. And it's the same thing with attention. We've gotten this belief, I guess, that, you know, we need a certain level of attention or, you know, we don't have value. And there, you know, it's like the old saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, but I think part of that nowadays, which has been proven, is a lot of that's associated with the dopamine hit you get from the likes and the automatic response.
Well, sure. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, guess it would be a huge dopamine hit
to see yourself jumping up and down on the corner during a police chase on 6 o'clock news. So I guess that was a dopamine hit there, too. But I don't know.
Yeah, this kid, YNW Melly. Terrible rapper from South Florida.
Sounds about right.
Got popular with the mumble rap game and all that.
Sure.
Killed two of his friends. And then wrote a song about it. Put the song out on a major label.
Yep.
And then got arrested not long after that.
Was
admitting that he did, like, put, like, talked about it and admitted to basically him doing it. Like, how stupid.
I think I remember a TV show like Cops or Homicide. It wasn't like a mainstream one, but it was something similar where this guy was in prison. Same thing. Wasn't really a rapper, but just a local thug. He had his whole upper body tattooed and like kind of like a sleeve, but it was tattoos and it was all the different crimes he committed. So he ended up in getting caught on a rap, and somehow, I don't know, a cellmate dropped the dime on him or what, but word got back to the detectives. Just take a quick look at his tattoos. It's all spelled out there. It's like, oh dipshit. But I don't know, man. Did you guys hear about the Southern? Oh, for those of you watching this on YouTube, you're probably going to have to download the rest of the podcast over whatsinyourhead.com, because if this part goes on YouTube, this will get, we won't be able to promote the show if we haven't already exceeded that limit. So this is now the time to go to whatsinyourhead.com or look on your favorite podcast app and download the rest of this episode. With that being said, did you guys hear about the Southern Poverty Law Center?
I saw something, I saw a meme about it, but I didn't hear the whole thing.
One moment. So let me tell you what the Southern Poverty Law Center is, what their claim to fame is, what their about us is. So I'm on their website now, and I'm sure their website's probably under a state of despair right now due to local stories, but I'm trying to find their mission statement here. Learning for justice, racial justice issues, find resources, class action lawsuits. Where is their mission statement here? I'll just go to Wikipedia. That can't be wrong.
Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Yeah, but this is a left-leaning employment, so they'll tend to be, Wikipedia will be tend to leaning towards favor. The Southern Poverty Law Center is America's 501c3 nonprofit legal advocate. See organization specializing in civil rights and public interest litigation based in Montgomery, Alabama. It is known for its legal cases against white supremacist groups and for its classification of hate groups and other extremist organizations, and for promoting anti-biased education founded by Morris Dees, Joseph Jr. Levin Jr. and Julian Bond in 1971. As a civil rights law firm, the SPLC began litigation strategy in 1980, filing civil suits for monetary damages on the behalf of victims of violence from the Ku Klux Klan. That's in the very first paragraph of what they do. If you Google them right now... DOJ charges Southern Poverty Law Center with fraud over secret funding to extremist groups. The same groups that they're fighting against. Let's see here. The Department of Justice on Tuesday announced a bombshell 11-count fraud indictment accusing the Southern Poverty Law Center of secretly funding leaders and organizers of white supremacist, racist, and other hate groups that the civil rights group claims to be battling. The SPLC paid informants, field sources, engaged in active promotion of race groups at the same time that the SPLC was denouncing the same groups on its website. Alleges the indictments returned by the grand jury in the U.S. District Court in Montgomery, Alabama, said on Tuesday. Between 2014 and 2023, the SPLC paid at least $3 million to 8 individuals, some of whom were associated with the Ku Klux Klan, the United Klans of America, and the National Socialist Party of America, i.e. Nazis, and the Aryan Nations affiliated Sadistic Souls Motorcycle Club and the American Front, said Acting U.S. Attorney General. Over $3 million. Now, obviously, the State Department's not getting super in-depth into the details right now because it's an ongoing group. One troubling example is that the SPLC was paying members of the leadership group that planned the Unite the Right protest in Charlottesville, Virginia, that resulted in the death of one person and injured a dozen more. The active attorney general said, noting that the indictment alleged that the group paid a person about $270,000 over the course of 8 years. And so now the question is why?
Are you doing
Are you doing this to get information? Are you doing this to keep these groups relevant so that you continue to stay in business because you need an enemy to fight? Because after all, if the Joker killed Batman, he wouldn't have anything to do. And if the Batman killed the Joker, he wouldn't have anybody to fight against. And so if you make all of your money through donations fighting hate groups, kind of like how, remember, what was it, True? The tobacco anti-smoking commercials from the 2000s?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, truth. We're going against cigarettes. Well, cigarettes are gone, so what do we do? We're going after vape. Why? Because vape is bad for you. Nicotine's bad for you. Actually, nicotine's good for you as long as it's not a carcinogen like tobacco. But because they get funded to fight against tobacco, now tobacco's gone, their mission statement is to fight against nicotine and vape because they got to keep the engines fucking going.
Is everything fake? Yeah, pretty much.
Go ahead, Morgan.
I really think that it's all engineered. You got to have an enemy. So, you know, to go on, you know, if the Roadrunner ever or the Coyote ever caught the Roadrunner or Tom ever caught Jerry, you know, your stuff is over. You know, if Colonel Decker ever caught the A-Team, you know, the show's over. I think Mike dropped out.
Yeah, his toe hit the power switch.
Okay.
On his computer. I don't know what sort of rudimentary fucking rat trap or contraption he has set up that his UPS in there, big fucking foot. But, yeah, we're going to have to wait for him to come back in. But it's just like every day, more and more, everything's just
Well, and I think as time goes along and more things come out, we're going to see that it's, you know, there's a, you know, there's a very fine line that, you know, between, you know, reality and what they, you know, want us to see. Hi, Mike.
Hey.
What kind of bullshit do you got set up with your big fat table? Shut down your whole system. He's one of these guys that keeps his monitor and his tower on a fucking toggle switch. Got one of those decks underneath his monitor.
I have a power bar. I have a power bar zip tied to my desk. And I have I got three monitors. Well,
why are you fucking everything underneath your desk for?
I was
goddamn piggies yourself.
I was moving my foot and my toe ended up on top of it. And I hit the switch with my toe. except for the blue lights behind me, and everything went dark. I was like, oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, funny.
Morgan, I know you wanted to reminisce about roller rinks, but I almost think that Mike and I were outside of the windows on going down memory lane on our favorite roller rink soundtrack. Well, the other hitch in that giddy up is I was such a weird fucking kid that I didn't listen to the cool kid shit.
The shit I was listening to would
get played on roller rink. So when I went to the roller rink, I was the too cool for fucking school kid who was making fun of all the shit they were playing to actually enjoy myself.
When I was going to roller rinks, they were playing early 2000s Dirty South crunk rap.
Sounds about right.
So.
I will say I do enjoy the TikToks of the cats doing the synchronized roller skating with the white steps and shit. I think my daughter's boyfriend does that.
Really?
Yeah, he was one of those fancy roller skate cats with the low top fucking roller skates you barely tie. So I don't know how you don't break your fucking ankles, but yeah, he was one of those. He would go to the place where the roller derby league used to play on like every Wednesday and just, where's Stevie at? He's fucking skating. Okay.
Yeah, I actually did get to go to the Palace before it shut down when I was a kid in North Fort Myers. And then there was actually a roller rink in North Carolina in the small town that we lived in.
Well, that's kind of a given. That was kind of the thing back in the 50s. That one thing every small town had was a roller rink.
Yeah. I was surprised though, because I mean, I think we went there like twice maybe.
It kind of makes sense because even if you're broke and you can't afford a hardwood floor, you can buff out the concrete floor, put some gray paint on it and call it a roller rink. It didn't require, you need a popcorn machine, a sound system, a fucking, a quality disco ball, a couple of lights and a stack of CDs and you had yourself a roller rink.
Well, that's where you know, places like Hertz Arena and stuff like that have such an edge on just plain roller. I mean, they could literally put in a wood floor if they wanted to.
They have
drop down the disco ball and, you know, do the thing.
They could have a killer fucking.
They do the ice rink. Why couldn't they put in the wood floor and do a roller rink 1 week? You know, they do concerts. Obviously, the Everblades play there.
Oh, dude, they could do some 80 throwback roller rink night there.
I think our Civic Center is kind of designed the same way. I'm sure. Well, they probably I don't think they can do ice or anything like that. But
Fort Myers does have an ice rink. I used to go there quite a bit with Terry Onward.
The Skadium.
Yeah, Stan gave me a fucking pair of free Bauer skates. Sweet.
Nice. Yeah, the Skadium, they still do free skate and stuff like that.
Indoor soccer there because they actually have a few other.
Do they really?
Yeah, so you had the main skating, but then you go off to the side. They have like three other rinks there for like a hockey league night shit. Mm-hmm. But they put down the plastic and then AstroTurf, and they have indoor soccer leagues.
No shit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Interesting.
But your talk of roller rink reminded me. I think we discussed this before. When I started snowboarding, it was so early in the day that you had to call the the ski resorts to see if they actually allowed snowboarding, because snowboarding had such a bad reputation. And you know, we talk about how everything's so split and segregated these days. They were too, you know. I remember when rollerblades started to pick up, you actually had to call the roller rinks. Do you guys allow rollerblades? Someone wouldn't do it. Not that it damaged the floor, it's just they didn't like the optics. It was, no, these newfangled rollerblades, this is before they all started offering them for rentals. But yeah, that was, I remember when you actually had to call around and see if they let you bring your rollerblades in there.
Yep, if the wheels aren't on the corners, it's wrong.
Rollerblades are easier to stand on. Just like ice skates.
Do you, I was going to say, do you think rollerblades are easier to...
Yes, without a doubt.
To skate in than regular rink skates?
I probably only roller skated 5 times in my life, but like in middle school, I got a pair of... Once again, they weren't the actual rollerblade brand. They were the fucking TJ Maxx ripoff. I had a pair of knockoff rollerblades that me and Nick would play street hockey in and try
rollerblade to was Rollerblade was a brand?
Yeah, rollerblade was an actual brand. Yeah. Oh. And they actually have the boot. Yeah, so rollerblade was a brand, and then you had knockoff. Because kind of like hot tub.
Yeah.
Inline skate is the technical name for it. Rollerblade's the brand. And so...
See, I'm that's some things that I've been learning later on in life, like things that I grew up with or knew of when I was a kid.
Are like Jacuzzi like, was the name brand. Of
it. Yeah, like that. It was actually like... I found out because of work, because of what I do. But yeah, rollerblades. I didn't know that was a name brand. There was something else that we've talked about before. Recently.
This is prominent in the South. All sodas are referred to as Coke. Kind of like, you want a Coke? Yeah. What do you want? Mountain Dew, Sprite. All soda was just called Coke. That was just generic terminology for soda.
I think we've kind of like gotten Kleenex. I think we've kind of gotten away from that though. Cause
oh, absolutely.
There is a distinct, you know, like. Do you want a soda versus pop?
Well,
you know, and, you're, the and Coke, you're real weird if you say soda pop.
Well, the Coke thing makes sense because I don't know if it's still the with the internet now, but prior to the internet, they said the two most recognizable English words around the world. You can go to the fucking Amazon.
Yeah.
Two English words that someone who's never met a fucking English person in his life would know was okay and Coca-Cola. So it kind of makes sense because that's how hardcore their branding was back in the fucking 1800s.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the story where prior to World War One, Coke was almost broke and they tried to sell to Pepsi? And Pepsi said, no thanks, you'll never be a competition to us.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And much like Coca-Cola, all Pepsi's crates were yellow before World War One. Pepsi switched their colors to red, white, and blue during World War One for patriotism.
Really?
Yeah. So, but yeah, Coke was almost flat busted broke. I think World War Two might have helped save their ass.
I think they got. I think we might have talked about this before, but isn't that the idea, or wasn't it true that Coke was the reason why like Santa Claus is like a real thing and stuff like that?
Yep. The Coca-Cola marketing department created the red,
the rosy red cheek. They took. Fat, yeah, fucking took, Santa Claus.
Yeah, they took basically the three or four different religious
versions of the stories.
Holiday
entities
are from around the world, and they created the Santa Claus that you see on the Coca-Cola cans every year.
Right.
They created the whole Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was actually created by a jingle writer for, I think, Macy's. That's an interesting story. He actually finally got rights to it years later. For the first years, he made $2 off that song. And then finally, after, it's a crazy story. It's a story you'll never hear ever again. He worked for like Macy's or somebody. Somebody can fact check this, but he was a marketing department. He wrote the jingle Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and they actually sold a kid's book. Macy's did, or whoever, L.A.R. Schwartz, one of these big, huge fucking famous store chains. And then he left the employment and they owned the rights to it. But at some point, he actually had a conversation with the owner of the company, and they gave him rights to it. Like, oh, here, you fucking came up with the shit. Here's the right. And then he copyrighted it, and then he finally started making all the money off cartoons in the 70s and shit. Go ahead, Morgan.
No kidding.
Montgomery Ward's.
Montgomery Ward. I knew it
was. 1939, it was created by copywriter Robert L. May as a promotional giveaway for Montgomery Ward Department Store.
Now, hold on real quick. For those of you who don't know, copywriter, when we hear copyright, we think of, oh, I got a copyright on this. Copywriter was different. Like when I worked in the radio and you're reading your script for like, oh, buy this iPhone, they called that copy. And someone's job was to write the copy, write the advertisement you would read. So like if I was doing a live read right now for fucking Cast King and Cast King gave me a script to write, the person who wrote that script was called a copywriter because that script was called copy. So this guy wasn't working as a copywriter. He was working as a copywriter. So he wrote the song. Go ahead, Morgan.
Let's see. Originally conceived to save money on purchasing holiday coloring books, the story was an instant hit with 2.4 million copies distributed in its first year. So it wasn't... So it was created in 1939. In 1948, a nine-minute animated film was produced. 1949, the song was written by Johnny Marks and recorded by Gene Autry. And then in 1964, the classic Rankin Bass stop motion television special that we all know and love premiered, turning Rudolph into a staple of Christmas.
And at some point, the owner or CEO of that company gave the family the rights back to it so they can make. Because at the time, he was just making salary. So he came up the whole thing and never got. But at some point, they, free of charge, just said, here, this is your baby, which will never, ever fucking happen nowadays.
Yeah.
Now,
can you imagine, like, writing some super famous thing for, like, Paramount or whatever, or fucking Warner Brothers, and on your retirement, here, you can take this. You can take all the intellectual properties of Fast and Furious. You came up with the idea. No, that would never fucking happen.
Well, so what I want to know is when Mike writes the fat fucking Santa Claus or whatever it was he said earlier, writes the newest Christmas song, are you going to own the rights to that?
No, he's going to get a cease and desist order from the fine people at Psychopathic Records because in 1994, ICP wrote the holiday classic Santa Claus is a fat,
bitch.
Another year.
So we need to make a note of this now. We need to talk alternative Christmas music closer to the holidays because there's a lot of great stuff out there.
Perfect.
One of the good ones was the Dropkick Murphys song.
Hmm.
Was it? It was Dropkick Murphys, yeah. The Drunken Lullaby. We used to play it on K-Rock. That's a good one.
Yep.
But
you're not talking the Fairy Tale of New York, are you?
No, I'm talking about the drunken.
I think it's called Drunken Lullaby.
Yeah, that's gonna wrap it up for this episode of the What's Your Head podcast. Do us a favor, head over to whatsyourhead.com, click on a merch link, get yourself a shirt, a hat, or head over to patreon.com, look for D410 Media, sign up and subscribe. Until next time, we'll talk to y'all next week.
This has been a Digital 410 production.